I greet you in Jesus' name this morning. I am glad you're here. I pray that God will meet us here. I'm going to just in introduction acknowledge the comments already made about Mother's Day. That's not where I'm planning to go, but it's very appropriate that someone else has talked about that. And I also want to request your prayers as we think about going back this week. One of my biggest questions as I during these 2 months has been, how do I meet all the challenges, all the needs around us, and where do we find the people that we need to help to get everything done? So if you think about us, I wish you would pray with us about that. I'll just admit that when Lauren Miller was here and talked about delegating to other people, I thought, that's where I ought to be, but I'm not there, and I don't have people to delegate to. And so whenever there's a new couple coming to the guest house, I think maybe these are people that will be long-term people that can help me. But I'm still looking, and I invite you to pray with us about that. I also wanted to say, as we think about in a little bit over a week, going to Europe for a tour on Anabaptist history. Some of you have helped with making that possible for us, and I will say thank you. But it goes with, I find it interesting that we get to do this. For me, it's not a pleasure trip. I feel very strongly about the topic that we had this past Wednesday evening, and the dream of sharing what it means to be an Anabaptist to my brothers and sisters in Central America who have limited history, who are much more limited, who are first-generation Anabaptists. If you think about us, I wish you would pray with us about that too. Now, thinking about the message. The title I've given this message is Truths You Need to Know When You're Tempted. And like with so many messages, you hear ideas here and ideas there. It started out with something that a counselor that you probably know told me about. He talked about an article in which he said that suffering is something that our culture doesn't prepare us for. Everything about our culture wants to ensure our comfort and to make us comfortable. We're taught to buy now and pay later. And so many other ways that it's all about now, about being comfortable now. And then a verse in 1 Peter 2 that I'll be referring to later. And so I've been thinking about all these things, and I've just been so inspired with some of these ideas. But you can't talk about all the ideas, and so we're going to talk about truths you need to know when you're tempted. I hope to challenge your thoughts about God, about the Christian life, about suffering, about temptation, about eternity, about hell, and about heaven. My prayer is that you'll be challenged, and that maybe you'll look at some of these things differently, but more important than just looking at them differently, I want you to live different. I get concerned when we talk in church and we have an interesting Sunday school or an interesting message and we're not pushed to change the way we live. Because it ought to be about the way we live. It needs to be about the way we live. We need to live changed lives. That's my goal. And so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, you teach us so much about temptation, and we just invite you to be here to guide our thinking. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would be present, and each of us, these 200 people or more, are at a different place. And I pray that you would comfort those who need to be comforted, that you would challenge and confront those who need to be confronted, and that you would meet each of us so that each of us can know that we met you. And I pray that we could be encouraged and challenged to obey you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We have an enemy who's a deceiver, and he tries to get you to think about the decisions you have to make in a wrong way. And the first point I want to make is that your choice is not about easy now. I'm sorry, your choice is not about easy or hard. It is about easy now and hard later. Your choice is about easy now and hard later, or hard now and easy later. I don't know if you thought about that. Our enemy is so good at showing you something, you can have it right now. You can have pleasure right now. You can have it right now. And you don't have to wait. This is the side I want to show you. It reminds me about... Can you read that? Maybe? If not, then this is easy, the wide and the becoming narrow, the wide showing that you have lots of options, and then gradually it becomes hard, or you start out with few options, like the Bible talks about the straight gate, the limitations that ends up with life. And here it talks about the wide way that leads to destruction. Reminds me of the story they tell about... No, it's an illustration. I'm sure it didn't happen. But the Titanic, when it was sinking, people asked the captain, can we do anything we want to? Yes, you can do anything we want to. Can we stand on the tables? Yes, you can stand on the tables. Can we throw glasses? You can throw glasses. And people say, what a good captain we have. You see, you have options at the beginning, but at the end you don't have options. Think about that as regards to finances. I'm going to mention a few ideas where this principle works. Then I'm going to give you a chance to talk about some. In your life, when you're young, you can spend your money as fast as you get it, and how will your life end? You're going to go through tough times. Or you can save money and sacrifice, but at the end of the road, you'll have more options. And what about physical exercise and eating? You can eat anything you want until the doctor says you can't anymore. Or you can be careful in the way you eat and enjoy the benefits of health. You can say, no, I'm not going to get any exercise. That's for other people. Until the doctor says you have to. Or you can get exercise and enjoy a healthy body in the long run. What about the spiritual disciplines? Is it hard to get up early in the morning and have time with God in prayer? Yeah, it is. It's no fun. But if you do it right, you're going to have increasing blessing and be blessed. No, I don't feel like getting out of bed. I don't feel like having time with God. It's a whole lot easier. Sure, you can do that. But you'll pay later. So when our enemy says, take the easy way. I want to forever ruin for the enemy, the idea that you can choose between the easy way or the hard way. I want you to think, sure, it's easy now, but you're going to pay later. What about mental activity? I don't feel like going to school. I don't feel like studying. I don't feel like applying myself. You can do that, but you'll pay later. If you work hard and keep your mind in gear and don't let it fossilize, you'll be blessed. And what about sexual temptation? Sure, you can go the easy way now, but you'll pay later. Or you can be disciplined now and enjoy freedom. Did you think about some more examples about how this principle works? It's the principle of consequences. Our enemy would love to tell you that you can have your, how's the saying go? You can have your cake and, how's it go?
And eat it too.
You can have your cake and eat it too. He would love to tell you, you can have an easy life and he'll never catch up with you. But it will. Did you think about other areas in life more than what I mentioned? Finances, health, food, spiritual disciplines? Do you think of some other ways where this applies? This is the way it is. And those of you, young people who are saying, why do I have to be disciplined? Satan is offering me all kinds of options and it feels so good. Remember this. And choose carefully so that, I mean, wouldn't it be better to end good than to start easy? That's what I want for you. The Bible says about Moses that he refused to call himself the prince, that he suffered with the people of God because he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. He was thinking about the end of the road. I hope to forever ruin for you the idea of just thinking about now. I want you to think about the end of the road. How does what I do today affect the way I end? And I want to end good. I hope you do too. Proverbs 13:15 says, the way of the transgressor is hard. Not at the beginning. But it catches up with you. The easy life is the life of the illegitimate son. The Hebrew writer says, fathers disciplined their sons because they had the goal of having the positive end result. But if you say, I'm not going to let anybody tell me what to do, probably you'll get to the place where you really can do whatever you want to for a while until it catches up with you. A fool chooses the easy way and doesn't worry about the final destination. A wise person chooses the final destination carefully and takes whatever road he has to get there, and it'll probably be hard. Time is a one-way street, and you can't make a decision and then back up and redo it. Computer games, you can. You crash the airplane, and no problem, just go again. But you can't do that in life. You can be forgiven, but there's consequences. Point number two. Present enjoyment of sin has an expensive future price tag. Don't just think now, think the long-term result. What's that? An ice cream cone. Those of you who are sitting in the back will just have to learn to come earlier or pay for a better seat. An ice cream cone. And here I have you probably can't see this, but this is a $1 million check from God. Okay? If I had a child, well, I wish I had a cone here. But if I had a cone, it would probably drip on the carpet, and it wouldn't be very nice anymore. So just imagine, this is a real cone, not a thin piece of paper, and this is a $1 million check. If I were to bring a child up here and say, you can have this cone, it's a real cone, you can have it right now, or you can have this piece of paper that you can't cash until 10 years from now. What do you think the child would do? You can have this right now. What do you think he would do? You're smart, but there's... The child that I was wanting to hear about is a child who says, I need it right now. You mean I can have this right now? A real cone? Or a thin piece of paper
that I can't cash for 10 years? Now, if I finish the story, if I would tell the child what is true, that if you eat this ice cream cone, you're going to feel sick, nauseated, you're going to vomit, and a week later you're going to die. Do you think that child would still say, I want this? I don't think either. Okay, now I need your help. Why would a child choose this over this? Yes? Instant gratification? Is there another hand? Yes?
It's yummy.
It's yummy? Okay, it tastes good.
Lacks perspective.
Lacks perspective?
Okay.
Yeah, lack of perspective.
Doesn't understand all the details.
Doesn't understand the details? And if you compare the value of the two, kind of the same? Yes?
Has no concept of the value.
Has no concept of the value. If I would offer you this is a trick question. If I would offer you choice between an ice cream cone now or $1 million 10 years from now, you'd probably have to take the ice cream cone. Because I don't have $1 million. But I have a God who's able to reward you infinitely. Why would somebody choose this paper?
You can buy
a lot of ice cream cones. You can buy a lot of ice cream cones, okay? Why would somebody choose this? Isn't it because they trust the person who's offering it? And they have a concept of being able to wait 10 years instead of, I have to have it right now. This precisely is what happens. I mean, what we're talking about right now, being able to wait for something better down the road than to have this right now, is where a lot of people get caught. A lot of people get caught. And addictions is precisely this. Addictions, you know people, I know people who have a drinking problem. And they say, I really ought to quit drinking. And I'm going to stop right now. But what happens? Something happens and all of a sudden they can't think anymore. And all of a sudden they're out making the purchase again. When they were thinking straight, they could choose. They could say, this paper is worth more than this. But addictions is when you get stuck. And you've got to have it right now.
Proverbs 10:22 says, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. When our enemy offers you something on a silver platter and says, here it is, you can have it right now, what should you think? Yes, but there's fishhooks. There's things involved that are there to trap you. I want to talk about sexual gratification. There's two phrases I want to read to you from Proverbs, and I want you to be thinking about this addiction thing that I was telling you. Proverbs 6:26, the first part says, for by means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. Second, Proverbs 29:3, the second part says, he that keepeth company with harlots spendeth his substance. Now I want to tell you a story. It's a true story. There was a pharmacy owner in El Salvador who had a pharmacy. And a pharmacy is a good business. But he got involved with one of the workers. And little by little, she asked him for money in exchange for favors. And asked for money and asked for money. And he kept giving it to her. Because he was addicted. And he ended up saying, I'm broke. If you want to take over the pharmacy, you may, because I can't get back out of debt. Do you see what I'm saying? When you get into addictions, you can't think straight, and suddenly you can't be disciplined for the long haul. You've got to have it right away. And a lot of people think, I can do it and it won't catch up with me. But it does. What about the dating couple that gets into petting and physical activity, physical involvement? It feels good and it's quick and easy. But what they don't understand is that the real fulfillment of learning to know each other well and being loved and understood and cared for, even though I'm not perfect, and really learning to know each other, that's not going to happen because the sexual part is a shortcut. How sad. Where do addictions come from? I think they come from vacuum, from emptiness, from hunger, and then someone gives it to you either through curiosity or offers the first drink, or the person says, I want to know what this is all about. But then they're trapped. It becomes a shortcut, a sinful way to not feel the hunger that they felt. Pornography ruins people. Masturbation ruins people. Drinking, smoking. There's other addictions. They ruin you because you get hooked into this ice cream mentality. And if you get hooked on ice cream mentality, you will become a poor person. Because what those two verses was trying to say in Proverbs is that if you give in to sexual temptation or to the addictions, your ability to wait goes down the drain. Your ability to be disciplined for the long haul and for you to say, the ice cream cone would taste good, but this is better and I can wait. That's more advanced thought pattern, thought process that addiction doesn't allow you to do. There was probably a time in my life when I would have said, I don't understand why God allowed Satan into the garden. But now I think this is a new idea, and I want you to evaluate this. I'm going to suggest that God, far from being cruel, choose and allowing Satan to be in the garden, he's choosing the wiser, the better. Okay, I'm sorry. By forcing us to choose and allowing Satan to be in the garden and helping us to choose the wiser and better, delayed fulfillment actually helps us to grow and to mature. If you didn't have any choices, you'd never get out of ice cream mentality. But God is offering us choices and saying, yes, you can have ice cream cones now. But there's something better if you can wait. And so God is not being mean to us to allow us to live in this kind of a world. It's a part of who we are. We are creatures of choice. And we can make the world different. That's something that ought to be valuable and important to us. One of the things I like to do when I preach at the park, when I stand on the park bench, I say, how many of you know someone who's 50 years old, who's lived for the devil, and has done just whatever they wanted to, and that are satisfied with the way they've lived? Do you know anybody like that? How many of you know someone who's 50 years old who has lived for God and is satisfied with the way he lives and wants to keep on? You see, at 50 years, the consequences are starting to pile up. I don't say, how many of you know somebody who's 25 years old and is having a great time? I don't say that. Because they're not feeling the consequences yet. I think you know people who now are at a place and they say, oh, I wish I would have done things differently, but it's too late. Number three, giving into temptation one time or many times does not bring relief from temptation. We've kind of talked about this. Sin enslaves. It traps you. The person who gives in... Okay, there's people who say, Arthur, I feel so sorry for you. Look at all the things that I can do that you don't do. And I say, well, okay. I could do that, but I don't want to. Could you stop? They can't stop. They're just having a great time doing what they feel like doing, but they can't stop. So who's free? Giving in to sin is like a steep hill. It's fun until you can't stop. It's kind of fun, but then you can't stop. And the fun is over. And not only you can't stop, you need to do more sin to get the same jollies that you used to. Sure, I'm tempted with sexual sin. But I can think and I can say, you know, if I did that, I'd feel guilty. I'd ruin my ministry. I'm not interested. There was a time when I had an ice cream mentality. But God wants you to be able to grow to the place where you don't just think ice cream, you think, what do I really want? And to be able to make the mature choice that goes with that. Frequently people who make those wrong choices, those addicted choices, are trying to get away from the painful emotions of, I feel all alone, I feel like nothing is working, I feel sad, I feel rejected, I feel discouraged, those kinds of things, and then they fall trap. Number four, saying no to fleshly lusts. Well, let me just ask you this. How many of you, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, how many of you have ever secretly wished that you could sin? That you could enjoy what the Bible calls the pleasures of sin? I have. Now my fourth point. Saying no to fleshly lusts, the temptation to sin, doesn't damage you, limit your development, or stifle your personality. It develops you. And this is what Satan doesn't tell you. When you say no to the ice cream cone and take the long range, this God says no, and so I'm going to trust him, and I'm going to follow God's way, it grows you up. Psalm 84, 11 says, no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Do you believe that? No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Where do we get the idea that Satan has the upper hand, and if we could do those things without getting caught, it'd be kind of good? Isn't it true that we've been deceived? Isn't it true that every time you wish you could sin, you've been deceived? I think so. And this is the verse that kind of got me started thinking about these. 1 Peter 2:11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. It hurts you. It damages you. It destroys you. It's not like the picture that you're painted. It's not like the picture the devil wants you to see. Giving in to sin hurts you. It damages you. It destroys you. It's not the other way around. I want to tell you a story about Bernardo. He's somebody who became a Christian in his youth. And I discipled him, went through instruction class. And we have smaller groups. And we deliberately tell people the last Sunday, the last time we're together, I say, this concludes the time of study. We don't automatically baptize you. I want you to come back to me and say, I'm ready. This is what I want. Because I think that's pretty important. No response. What are you thinking, Bernardo? What are you thinking about membership? Well, not so sure. This man that I had seen potential and I thought of him as a future church leader, he started just kind of falling apart. And I said, well, what's going on? We visited him. We tried repeatedly. But as I pieced the story together, I think he got into pornography. And this is the part I'm not sure. I mean, I know he got into pornography, but the part I'm not sure about is that I think he thought that this is me, this feels good, I'm damaging myself, or I'm hurting myself by limiting myself. He thought he was being unfair with himself. He honestly wanted to do the sin, and so if I feel like doing it, why wouldn't I just go ahead and do it? I think he thought that he would be damaging himself. He'd be hurting himself if he didn't follow his desires. And that's not true. He couldn't see the bondage. God is good. This is my next point. God is good even when I can't understand him. How many of you have been exposed to the prosperity gospel idea? You're a child of the king. Live like a prince. God owes it to you to give you money and health. You have every right to demand that he gives you what you want. I'm all for praying for healing. Those times of anointing with oil are special moments. But God doesn't always heal. And he doesn't ask me when he should heal and when he shouldn't heal. He's way too wise. He sees things that I don't see. When you look in the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 11, it talks about all the people who had success stories. And then halfway through verse 35, it shifts to horror stories. Without missing a beat. Without saying, these people had faith, and these people didn't have faith. These people had faith, therefore God freed them. These people didn't have faith, therefore they were tortured. It doesn't say that. It says they had faith, and some of them had the success stories, and some of them died, suffered. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9 says, for my thoughts, God speaking, are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, saith the Lord. For as the heaven is higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now for the other question. When you ask for something and don't get it, what do you do? Have you ever heard people who said, if God is going to allow my husband to leave me, or my wife to die of cancer, or my daughter to suddenly die, then God isn't good, and I will reject him. Have you ever heard those kinds of things? How sad. How mixed up. It comes from this idea that God needs to serve me, and I know what's best, and God needs to serve me. That's sad. Now, my final point here on this part. Don't lose your eternal perspective. Keep heaven in view. Jesus told the story of the rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. If there's anything that we should learn from that, it's if you had to choose between suffer, Lazarus suffering, and enjoying bliss, or being a rich man and just having everything you want here and suffering in hell, which would you choose? I see you all are just unsure. No, you're being quiet. I think life is preparation for heaven, for eternity. But it would be really, really sad if we would, I like to think of life here as being the scrimmage, the practice session, and heaven is the real deal, the real game. Wouldn't it be sad if you do things during the practice session that leave you less prepared for the real game? And yet people do that all the time. How sad. I want to tell you two stories. One is Gustavo's dad. His name is Angel. He was never interested in spiritual things. This is Gustavo, the Gustavo whose parent at the children's home. He was never interested in spiritual things. I talked to him repeatedly. I couldn't ever get him to come to church. His alcoholism turned into chain smoking. Is representative of somebody who was probably covering up pain. He was separated from his wife. But only now at the end of his life, when he has cancer, is he becoming, and each week is becoming visibly weaker, was God able to get through to him. In my absence, since these last 2 months since we're up here, he asked my co-pastor to come to his bedside and help him to become a Christian and to teach him how to pray. I have no doubt that he is serious about his relationship with God, that God will take him to heaven when he dies soon. That's Angel. I'll tell you a second story. This is Alvin Yoder. He's a man who tried to make his life count for God. He wasn't a preacher, but he loved his Lord. He constantly read and studied and memorized Scripture. When I visited him between 3 and 4 years ago, his mind wasn't as sharp as it had been before, but it was neat to see that he got carried away quoting Scripture and sharing his testimony for the Lord. Now, the question I want to ask you. How will Angel and Alvin's experience in heaven be different? I think they'll both get to heaven. Will they stand beside each other in the choir? Will everything be the same? Do you have any ideas? David says he doesn't think so. Let me read a story for you. It's I call it the 10 cities parable. Then came the first. Remember, the Lord gave a bunch of money, and he said, use this money, make as much money, invest it as much as you can. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound, the money on loan, equal to everyone, hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a little, in very little, had thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained thee 5 pounds. And he said, likewise, be thou over 5 cities. I don't know, I can't prove this, but I think that Alvin and Angel will be at different places in heaven. I think life on earth is preparation for the real deal. This body that you can see right here is not Arthur. The real Arthur you can't see. That's my spirit that will exist forever. The things you do on earth to prepare the spirit, the real you, will make a difference in heaven. I don't know how. I believe that the spiritual disciplines reading, Bible reading, prayer, faithful obedience, obeying even when I don't understand, I believe that's preparation that does something to the real you that helps you to step into heaven a different way than the angel way. You think about that. I'm pretty sure that heaven will be better than you can imagine, and hell is worse than you can imagine. You know the chorus? When we see Jesus, it goes like this. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face, all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. I'd like to just, because that kind of ends my temptation presentation, but I want to just talk about very quickly a few other ideas. Truths you need to know when you're tested. Number one, there's a difference between discipline and pruning. It can feel the same. Discipline is spanking when I've been bad. Pruning is what God does, John 15, or I think maybe purging is, purgeth it, is the King James word. It's cutting off branches that aren't bearing fruit so that you bear more fruit. And it's what God in his goodness does. There's times when we don't understand. There's times when we've tried to serve the Lord and we have to suffer. I'll just be honest with you. There's times that Lil and I have talked and we've said, I don't understand this. It feels like we have to suffer and we have more pain than other people. But I think our ability to enjoy, to feel joy is also there. I don't think that's been hampered. I have a question for you and I'd like to have your response. Who do you think will enjoy heaven the most? Someone who's had an easy life, where everything went pretty much the way it was supposed to, and they've had no major losses, or someone who has suffered deeply, experienced physical pain, and knew many losses? Which of those two do you think will enjoy heaven the most? The latter. I think my brain-injured daughter, Evie, will enjoy mobility and being able to converse in ways that I never will. Because she knew losses. Think back over your life. Think about the easy times when you could clearly sense God's presence, people liked you, life was going the way it was supposed to. Now think about the dark times when you felt alone, when God seemed distant, when everything went bad. Do you grow more spiritually during the good times or the bad times? If you're going through a time of enjoying the blessing of God and everything is going good, I'm glad for you. But instead of relaxing and assuming this is the way it's going to be from now on, please understand that God is graciously giving you a chance to deepen your roots, to be more mature, because tough times will come. And if you're going through a difficult time right now when you can just barely hang on anymore, no. That good times will come again. And you'll be able to see, you'll be able to enjoy life. And you'll be able to say, I celebrate God's goodness again. I insist that we grow the fastest during the hard times. And I insist that we can feel closest to God during the hard times. I remember, I want to just share this with you. Maybe I've shared it here before, I don't know. During Evie's terminal illness, I cried out to God for healing or for him to do something, because it was so hard for me as a parent to see my daughter suffer. But God was silent. For months on end, he was just silent. He felt far away. And God really didn't owe it to me, but he graciously told me, Arthur, I'm being quiet right now because there's things I can do in your life when I'm quiet and when I seem distant that I can't do when I seem close. I said, oh, okay. Thank you. I share that with you in case you are going through a tough time. a time when God seems silent. Please don't doubt God's goodness. Please say, I will hang on to God. Because God is good. I don't understand it, but someday I will. And this comes from Jesus being in the Garden of Gethsemane and praying three times. Is there any way out? I don't think it was Jesus wanting a sinful way out. It was just, he was feeling the pain of this whole thing. And this is my another point. Hesitation in making right choices might come from valid grieving of losses and processing what the next step means. You know, I can say, I think if I had cancer, I'd be able to deal with that and my relationship with God is such that I'd be okay. But I'm feeling fairly calm. If the doctor told me, Arthur, you have cancer, I wouldn't feel so calm. You need time to process. And so if there's somebody here who's in the middle of something and it just feels like your whole world is in turmoil and that you want to say yes to God and you're saying, God, please don't give in to me because I want to say yes to you, but I'm not quite there. I want to say, God is patient and God understands. Jesus needed to process and to think through what this means so that he could despise the shame and think about the joy that was set before him and say, okay, now I'm ready. I can go. And you don't see Jesus flinching after that. But he needed to think through what it's going to take, what this means. Okay, now I'm ready. God, this is my last point. God receives the most glory through our right responses in suffering. Job is one of my favorites. When God didn't answer our prayer to heal Evie early on, one of the things that consoled me during that difficult, difficult time was just seeing what God and Satan dialogue. God saying, have you seen my servant Job? And Satan saying, yes, but he's obviously serving you because everything goes well. And God said, no, I don't think so. And then God was able to brag later on and say, you know what? Job is serving me in spite of what I've allowed to happen to him. And if there's anything that gave me courage during that difficult time, it was to think that God could perhaps be bragging about me. Because Arthur and Lil aren't just serving me because everything goes well, but because God is good. And God is worthy, and he deserves to be worshipped and glorified. So, my summary. When you're tempted, remember that your choice is not between easy and hard. It's between easy then hard or hard then easy. You remember that thing we showed you? Number two, present enjoyment of sin has an expensive future price tag. Think the ice cream cone. Number three, giving into temptation one time or many times does not bring relief from the temptation. That's the steep hill. Saying no to fleshly lusts doesn't damage you. Think about the Bernardo story. God is good even when we can't understand him. And don't lose the eternal perspective. Keep heaven in view. Remember Angel and Alvin. Truths you need to know when you're tested. There's a difference between discipline and pruning. We can grow the fastest and feel the closest to the Lord during the hard times. Hesitation in making right choices might be from valid grieving of losses. And remember that God receives the most glory through our right responses in suffering. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would use these illustrations and these truths to equip us to identify the deception of the enemy and to make right choices and to be free, free to serve you and to love you and to, in the long run, be increasingly free instead of increasingly trapped and enslaved. And Lord, if there's people here who are going through a difficult time, it's not because of sin, it's not consequences of sin, but it's just a tough time, a testing time, I pray that you would encourage them. And I pray that our right responses would give you the opportunity to brag and to say, do you see my servants in Kansas? They're serving me not because everything is going well, but because I'm worthy. You deserve to be worshiped. You deserve to be honored. You deserve to be praised. And we want to have our lives do that this week because we choose right, even when we don't understand, even when our flesh pulls. I pray that you'd help us to trust you, that God is good. This is not hurting me. This is about God understanding things that I don't understand. And I pray that you would free us from the ice cream mentality so that we can be free to serve you and to help the multitudes of people around us who got stuck at the ice cream mentality. I pray in Jesus' name, amen. Heavenly Father, we choose to worship you with our song, but we choose to worship you too with our right choices this next week. We want you to be honored and glorified. We want you to be exalted. I pray now that you would be with each one of us this week. Allow us the privilege of being able to live life slow motion so that we see when we're tempted, so that we see when we have made choices without thinking, and allow us the privilege of making choices carefully, rightly, and undoing wrong patterns, if that's true, so that we can be truly free and so that we can enjoy heaven the way it ought to be enjoyed. I pray in Jesus' name, amen.